What up, y'all? It's your boy, Sheik Looch, L-O-X, D-Block, Silverback Gorilla up in here. Hey, yo, Poe, what's good, fam? You know what I'm saying? Right now, we Poe politicking with my homie, Poe. You heard? Poe politicking. That's hard. You know what I mean? Where self-help meets hip-hop. You know what I mean? That's what it is, man. Poe, what's good? DJ Period, just two black brothers. You know what I'm saying? We three black brothers. The Lox doing what we do, too. You know what I mean? Preserving the hip-hop culture and all that. And introducing the future stars. Hey, yo, keep shining, King. You already know what it is, man. We got you over here. You do your thing over there. Sheik Looch, L-O-X, D-Block. Yeah, Poe politicking. Peace.
PoePolitikin.com.
Hey, yo, my name is Dan Balbuena, and I am here in Poe politicking, and we're about to talk this shit.
What's up, everybody? This is Poe from PoePolitikin.com. I'm into wholesale real estate. I did an online course and I thought it was pretty cool, so I want to share it with y'all. The name of the course is called The Varsity Class, and it's an online course that will teach you the tools to become a real estate investor. This course will show you everything you need to know about wholesaling properties and real estate that can potentially earn you $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 or more. So you can make a lot of money in this wholesale real estate. This is a good course to get your foot in the door. So you can change your life today, and the link is bit.ly/PoeHomes. So bit.ly/PoeHomes with an S. So thank you. Check it out. I'll holla.
PoePolitikin.com.
Yeah, what's up?
Chill. Welcome back to PoePolitikin.com, your home for self-help meets hip-hop. Make sure you check us out on our Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube. 1212 and Place to Be with Joanne Balbuena.
That's me. What's up?
Chilling. It says you're a lot of things. I see a veteran, a businesswoman, a filmmaker, a can of activists.
So we I am all of those.
So just start with the veteran, because I was a veteran too. So.
Oh, snap. Yeah. Which branch were you in?
The only branch. No, the Marine.
The Navy?
The Marine Corps.
Exactly. The Navy?
Yeah. Department of the Navy. I know. Yeah.
Wait, hold on a second. You gonna be smoking in this year? I'm gonna have to go grab some myself. So.
Oh, I mean, I thought you already knew that was going
on. I already knew, but I wasn't sure if this was the deal or if this was a pre-interview.
Oh no,
that's the thing.
It's the real.
So let's get back in there and join you. How about that? So what's happening?
Sure.
So I was in the military. I was Navy. I am still, but I'm veteran at this point. I served for 4 years active duty and then 2 years reserves. And, you know, I had a great time. It was, you know, Navy stuff. You know, the military, but I met so many great people, which I miss to this day, you know, the people that I haven't kept in contact or anything like that. But I did two deployments on board the USS John C. Stennis, and that's pretty much it.
So what did you do in the Navy?
Oh, yeah, I was in BFA 41 stationed in middle of nowhere, California, Lemoore. That's the Central Valley. It's all farmer country, so it smells like dookie.
Yeah,
but you know, it's all good. Whatchamacallit, so I was an aviation electronics tech for F-18s.
Did you smoke while you was in?
No, I did not smoke at all. No.
Oh, I smoked a lot when I was in.
No way, how did you do that?
I used to just take niacin all the time.
No, I didn't. I didn't smoke while I was in. As a matter of fact, I barely knew about weed at that point.
Yeah.
I did smoke when I was in college, but it was mostly, how do I put it? It was mostly, you know, when I was there and people were smoking, it wasn't like anything that I was into that much, because it kind of just made me sleepy all the time. So, like, imagine being in college at a party, and now you smoke, and now you want to fall asleep. So I was like, I'm not doing this. So I didn't do it as much until I got out. While I was in the Navy, I experienced a huge accident, from which I got a concussion, when I worked on the flight deck on my first deployment. And that has some ramifications that I didn't even realize up until I got out. So I met somebody that, and this is going to segue into how I got into cannabis, which is perfect segue there. So dealing with those issues pretty much disturbed my sleep, disturbed just like my mental health in general. On top of like the pain from, so pretty much to give you an idea of what the accident was, I was blown by aircraft blast into like the landing area. So imagine my little body, 120 pounds, being pretty much, I was flying like a paper in the wind. And so that cost a whole bunch of,
How many yards you flew?
Yeah, that thing, you know,
How many yards did you fly? Like 100 yards?
So like 30 yards? Feet. So it was 12 feet in the air and 30 feet into like away from where I was. Yeah, so that, you know, led to a whole bunch of shit when I got, can you curse here? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So it led to a whole bunch of, things that, you know, I really don't want to get into, but, I got therapy, met somebody actually who was in the cannabis space who then put me on to like the medicinal aspects of it. And I tried it. I felt so much better and I never looked back. So at that point, let me give you the little background here so you can get a better idea of who I am. I met a friend, he gave me weed. I felt so relaxed and so just like, I felt like I was a teenager again. You know, when you're a teenager, you have no care in the world. You're just focused on having fun with your friends kind of thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, how did this make me feel like that? My situation didn't change. It's just like my mind just kind of relaxed. And I was like, I want to feel that way. So I went ahead and went to a dispensary. And as I'm sitting in that dispensary, this is back then when it was medical only. Mm-hmm. You remember when you were like, are you in California? Where are you at?
Yeah, I'm in California. But shit, I still go to dispensaries, but I always support the street pharmacists too.
Well, see, I always got some.
My homies, you know, always do it like that.
No, you're right. And actually, I didn't have any like dealers or any friends that told me like, go here. And that friend who brought it, he had gone to a dispensary, so that's where he sent me. So I went to the dispensary, and he's a fellow Navy veteran, too. So I went to the dispensary. As I'm sitting there, you know, waiting to get checked in and shit, I probably counted about 20 people in and out, in and out. And, you know, and at this point, I'm just thinking, like, what the hell, you know, like, this is legal and all these people are like, there's a demand for this. So that's what I'm thinking, you know, as I go inside, you know, I see all the weed. I've had never seen so much weed in my life. I see all the weed. I'm already thinking like, oh my gosh, this shit is, I'm overwhelmed by just at the thought that this is an actual business. You know what I'm saying? At that point I spent $20 and counting like all the people, not 20, 120. So I'm counting all the people that were coming in and out. And I'm thinking if they all spend $100 in like the 30 minutes that I was there, I said, oh my gosh, this is a cash cow and it's all cash. I was like, I want to get in here. And it's a good product that makes people feel good. It was like that moment I decided I was going to get into this space. So it took me from that point up until I randomly met this other guy randomly at my house. I'm talking about not being able to sleep. And this guy gives me a little candy. It was an edible and I had it. And that night I slept like a child. And then that's when I hit him up. I said, excuse me, like, how did you get this candy? Like I said, you know, I started questioning him and he's like, oh, guess what? I'm looking to start an actual legal business. I'm getting a license. And I didn't even hesitate. I said, can I work for you? Can I work with you? Like, what can I do to get involved? And he told me, yeah. you know, at first he didn't pay me or anything. So I worked for free while having my, you know, I was actually working for the Navy as a civilian at that point. And eventually when he said, come work for me full time, I went and never looked back. Eventually worked with him in partnership to start my own business. And here we are today.
So what's your business?
So I'm an entrepreneur. I have, in the cannabis space, I have two businesses. One that it focuses on licensing acquisition and compliance management in California. And now we're looking into getting into other opportunities in other states. And I'm focusing on helping people of color to do so. So my business focus right now is to get us in the legal space compliant and carefree. Now, my other business is a media production company and tech entertainment. So with that one is where I have my brand Cannabis Synergy. And what we do is we create high quality content for the space. And now we're looking into creating virtual reality experiences with our content. So that's where we are. And that's in essence my business in the cannabis space. Outside of the cannabis space, so I'm originally from the Dominican Republic, and my family owns a food production company, which I helped found. That was the first business after college that I helped found. And that is just a meat production and manufacturing company where we sell specialty meats all over the East Coast, Palenque Provisions. My cannabis businesses are Balbuena Consulting and Synergy Studios. It's the content creation part. But yeah.
I'm about to hit you like your friend. I want to work for you. She kind of works for
you. I'll work let's for talk.
Like two weeks, I'll work for free. Then I'm going to be looking for the money.
Right?
I'll say my, but actually, I got to shout out my boy because I actually try to connect y'all. He has a podcast called Color Cash Cannabis. And he's been.
I think I've heard of that one.
Yeah, I say at least started like.
Is he on the East Coast?
He's in Atlanta.
Oh, and then okay, yeah, I knew. I've heard of them. Before,
or North Carolina,
yeah,
so. But he's been doing his brand for a while. But what he covers is he covers the fact that it's not really equal with people of color,
right?
And I remember this back.
He covers the social equity aspect.
Yeah, because I remember California. Like I've been seeing this for like it's been going over especially for a while. It's been like. But I noticed all the experiences are white people running the most of the time.
100%. But let me tell you something. Personally, I think the problem is that most people of color like to go through the social equity programs, which is pretty much, I don't want to call it the affirmative action type of concept for cannabis. Look, here in California alone, I have been able to obtain 6 licenses for a person of color. So, and without going through, you know, the state wanting us to report that this is a Black-owned business or see if we were, you know, this is just doing the application process, getting the finances in order and following, you know, compliance at every step of the way. Without, you know, having to wait in line or pretty much conform to whatever process and waiting periods that these people want to do for us, which they're not doing for the regular folk that's applying. So my mission is to connect people of color that, you know, have viable business ideas with capital and then with a support system that actually sees you through execution. And like that, we set everybody up for success and you know, and smoke weed while we're at it, pretty much.
Okay, so what you smoke, what you roll in?
This right here it's in a King Palm. Okay. They sponsor my show, so I gotta shout them out. The Cannabis Synergy brand. But the weed that I'm smoking in here is Green Dream. It's a hybrid of Green Crack, which is my favorite, sativa dominant, and then Blue Dream. What were you smoking on?
Man, I think this is some pineapple express.
Oh, but
good. It's some outdoor a little bit, so I got a little wax in there.
Okay, to spike it up a little.
Yeah, a little bit. But then I be like trying to roll Dutchies, but I be messing up all the time, so I gotta like this is my little band-aid when I mess it up.
I do that shit too, brother. Don't even trip.
But yeah, I'm saying that's tight. So what you were saying, your other company, you create content. What kind of content? I think it was Bake and Create. I think I saw that.
So that is a blog that I started just to get out like my creative thoughts with respect to cannabis and how I use it for intentionally to be creative. So that is that. But we also create like video content, and now we're creating virtual reality content in the brand is called Cannabis Synergy. So there we had an actual talk show. Sis was trying to become the Oprah of cannabis just a little bit. But so we created a live audience, live performance event format show here in San Diego that we were doing prior to COVID. We got about 80 people in a tight spot where we had a consumption lounge. You know, we had live performances with local artists. We had an art gallery type of presentation. And then, you know, we sat and discussed different cannabis issues or cannabis topics that I don't feel like the media actually covers truthfully. So we sat there, you know, with people in the industry who are actually working in the industry, who I personally believe are the backbone of the industry, and then talking to them about their experiences, you know, and the different things that affect not only the consumer, but also the professional in the space. So there, I'm proud to say that I had a group out of LA. They're called the Green Believers. And what they do is they help social equity candidates, Black social equity candidates, Black and Latino, actually, to get through the process. So they pretty much have the same vision that I have, which is to get people licensed and legal in the cannabis space in a compliant way, so they're set up for success and can be here for the long run.
Yeah, I'll ask you about the virtual reality too, because I got an Oculus. So what you trying to do with that?
So we're trying to create experiences, and then in combination with cannabis. So we're creating an application that's going to be called Cannabis Synergy. And from there, we're going to partner up with different brands. I can't talk too much about that right now because it's in development, but we're partnering up with brands and Black-owned brands in the space that are legal and are ready to give back to the community. We're creating experiences that cannabis will enhance. So they're multi-sensory. So get ready for that. So if you got your Oculus, you're going to be ready. So we have, right now, we are, you know, pitching to our investors. And trying to get the funds to get the application completed. So that's coming soon.
Okay. And then what about the filmmaking part of you?
So the filmmaking, I've been creating short films in the cannabis space. So right before this whole thing happened, I was planning on creating a short film festival here in San Diego. But then, you know, with everything that happened, we put that into focusing, number one, on helping the Black community get legal in the cannabis space. And then number two, take pivot with Cannabis Synergy, because we can create that platform there and use it to bring everything else together.
So you need writers too?
Of course. We're definitely going to need that. So yeah, right now we have.
I'm saying, we gonna have to link up for real, because like me, then my girl, she a writer too. She a writer, and then we both Black. You said you try to work with people.
Absolutely, you check all the boxes. I'm like Issa Rae. I'm rooting for everybody Black.
that's her like favorite show, and that's who she really wants to work with.
Absolutely, yeah, same. I love Issa. So she's been doing great so what I love about what she's doing, which honestly, I got to tell you, it inspired me as well, is putting us, like the Black community, in like the light that we are. You know, we have normal lives. Like we go to work or we Uber drive, you know, and all we're trying to do is be people and live our best lives. You know what I'm saying? And then a simple traffic stop, which may get anybody else a ticket or a warning or a, I don't know, thank you for your service and moving on. For us, it doesn't end like that. That shit does not sit right with me. It never has. And my message right now, look, I went to a protest here in San Diego about 3 weeks ago. And while I was there, the seed that was pretty much sprouted in that moment was that I'm sick and tired of us playing defense on this shit. We need to start playing the offense. Like, I am sick, and by defense, I mean, we're out here asking and begging these people to change their minds, to change their ways, to accept the fact that we are human, just like everyone else, and deserve and have the right, just like everyone else, to be accepted and not looked at some intimidating. I mean, yes, be intimidated, because we are kings and queens. But at the same time, like, we're just trying to live, you know. That's all we're trying to do. And somebody may look at us and feel some type of way for no reason. I'm sick and tired of that shit. So in my opinion, like, we're always asking people to change their minds or to change their ways, to change their laws. I feel like we need to play offense in the sense that let's focus on creating our own financial systems, our own money, our own businesses funded by us. That's why, like, right now I'm raising funds for my company. I'm only taking Black money. I don't even want to hear, you know, that this thing is tainted by it. Not tainting. There's great allies out there, but right now I feel like our foundation needs to be completely Black, because that is the core. After that, you know, we can all come together, you know, because the allies are out here. When I went to that protest, brother, I'm telling you, most people were not us.
I know.
Most people were Hispanic, were white people chanting the shit out of some Black Lives Matters, chanting, you know, demanding for justice and screaming at the top, you know, top of their lungs. I'm so proud of this generation. I'm so proud. I'm super freaking proud, because they're out here and they want equality for everybody. You know what I'm saying? If it's a Chinese person, they'll be out there doing the same thing. Fortunately, you know, they have our support as well. And of all, you know, of all races and of ages, these people are so young out here. There's young people with their young kids out here marching, you know, and requesting demanding justice, you know, for these people, and for our people, and for radical change to happen. So I'm all about it.
Yes, I'm in Oceanside. What part of San Diego are you from?
I live in Chula Vista.
Okay, so what?
All the way south.
You heard about that lady in La Mesa? She got shot with that little.
Yep, I heard about that. Then that's literally in my backyard here. That stuff has to stop. And at this point, you know, it's going to take some radical changes, you know, from the inside out, you know, because right now it's imploding and everybody's reacting. And I think it's going to take a while before it's going to take change in order for this generation and for us to back down. That's all I got to say about that. And that area of San Diego is known, you know, for the racial tensions. So hopefully, you know, things start changing in that area as well. So,
yeah, obviously I know, I was reading about Angela Davis. I read her autobiography one time, and she used to live out here, and she was saying, like, she was going through it with the cops. And that was like 70.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Fortunately, I'm not going to lie to you, I have not had any encounters with the police in this area or in San Diego at all. But I do know people that have. Matter of fact, when this all was happening, I know somebody who posted a video of how he literally was just standing in a corner waiting for a friend. And the cop, this cop comes and he's like, what are you doing here? And the whole thing ends in an arrest. The friend comes and he's like, hey, he's waiting for me. Like, what happened? Out,
the black dude, that dude, the I saw black that. Dude, in the jersey.
You saw it.
I saw it, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's almost like, that's why, I mean, tell you the truth, it's sad, but that's why I don't even, like, just be outside like that. Like, I just know I got to
I be
sad as shit sometimes when I see people just outside chilling. I be like, mad. I be like, man, I can't be like that.
You
like,
silly.
They think you trying to sell drugs, all that kind of shit. Why
You know, I'm telling you, I go outside for business purposes.
Yeah.
especially after this COVID shit. I'm inside of my house. That's where my entertainment is. That's where my peace and sanity is. Outside of my house, can I get this money? Moving on.
all right. So what it was talking about the also the process of curating. I saw that like a topic we should discuss. So what should we discuss about that?
So, okay. Well, as far as creating is to me a lifestyle. That's the way that I see it. So in my creation, you know, my creative process, I include cannabis intentionally for that purpose. I actually keep a cannabis diary to keep track of what ideas I came up with under which strains. And then creatively how I felt once I took that. And sometimes when I want to go back to that feeling, I hopefully try to find the same strain to see if it happens again. So since I do it intentionally, usually I prepare kind of like my mind for that. And I've had a lot of success with that. But also,
I got to step my game up. I ain't got no cannabis diary.
I mean, you don't have to do all of that. Like, I just did that because when I was in the space, I did realize that when I first started, that was one of the issues, like inconsistencies. But the guy that I was working for, his name is Dwayne, and he's a black guy cultivator. He is like very detailed oriented with respect to the strains that he grows. And with all that passion that he had, I kind of wanted to prove, like, is this really going to happen? Is this really what it is? And he was right. You know, if you use cannabis intentionally and focus on, you know, what you're trying to get out of it and then focus on which strains actually help you get there, then it's a win-win situation.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like doing it. I think that's the thing I like getting out of it.
I mean, if that's okay, brother. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Like for me, I have at home right now, I probably have like 15 strains. Like 15 different strains that I have in my little drawers that I keep.
I was ask you about, because you say you never faced racism out here, but what about when you was in the military?
No, from the police.
Oh.
I mean, in San Diego, come on now.
Oh, so how about in San Diego?
In San Diego, there was one instance that sticks out to me that was when I first got in the industry. So fast forward like a year after I had been in working with that one company, Prime Harvest, which is black owned. We had like a investors gathering. And some investors invited like a couple of extra friends that had like nothing to do with the company, which was fine. But I'm there and bro, I'm telling you, I was like, number one, I was decked out. Like I was looking nice, right? Because it was like a nice executive type of meeting. And this white lady comes up to me. Who had like, I think she was somebody, a friend of a friend. And they're talking about children. And I was the only black woman there. This woman asked me if I was the babysitter. There weren't any fucking kids there, first of all. So she asked, and who are you, the babysitter? And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And she's like, do you babysit their kids? That's what she asked me. That's what she asked me.
So what did you say?
I said, no, I babysit this millions that this company's making. That's what I said. And then I walked away. I was like, what the fuck? So that,
you're supposed to be there, right? She just like,
wait. Yeah, that's what I was. Can you believe that? I was just like, I can't. And that honestly made me a little bit upset that group of people that were talking, it was mostly the wives of, like, the women. So in the group of executives, I'm the only female. But, you know, the women were there, so I kind of didn't want to be standoffish or anything like that. And that lady who I didn't know and didn't know even how she was there, she asked me that in front of those people, and they didn't even say, no, she's not. I kind of, like, took, like, 3 seconds in my heart to gather, like, did she just fucking ask me if I'm the baby? There are no kids here. It's a freaking bar. Why are you even thinking that? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I just told her, no, I'm here to babysit this millions. And then I walked away. And these other women, because, you know, I waited for her response, and she just looked at me like, and awkwardly laughed. But no one there said, no, she's not.
Yeah, they didn't either. Speak up for you. So that's like, that's kind of I look at racism. Like, if they didn't speak up, they're racist because they should have spoke up. Somebody should have said, hell no, she's boss like the other ones. Like, something like that. They sitting there letting her say that and not speaking up. So I still.
Exactly. Yeah. And mind you, those people weren't white, they were Mexican.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. She probably. So,
the lady who said it was white, though. And let me tell you, I came back to my house and I was so angry that it was late. I literally went to the gym to just, like, that's how upset I was. And then I was just thinking, like, why am I so freaking upset? And I'm like, because at first I was like, maybe I'm letting that get to me. But I'm like, dude, like, seriously, that's hella disrespectful. Yeah. Not just for
like
that.
You said, you was already dressed up too, so she could already look at you like you dressed up. So it's like, yeah.
And, well, it is what it is. But that literally just gave me the motivation to start my own business. So thank you, lady. So shortly after that, I started my own business with consulting, Balbuena Consulting, and started getting my own licensing applications and getting candidates, people that needed the licenses connected with funding, and then moving on forward and stacking my license portfolio. So thank you, white lady. I forget your name. Actually, I don't remember, care to remember. But definitely put that fuel. I went to the gym angry, like thinking like, what the hell? Like, what's a girl got to do to look like the part? You know what I'm saying? So I'm there sweating my ass off, and then I come home and I was like, you know what? I'm going to start my own shit. Shortly after that, nobody stopped me, so I did.
Then I've been asking all the guests, what's a good way to flip a G right now?
To flip a G? I would say to invest in yourself. Like, I think that's the greatest ROI you can get. If you're looking to just get money right back right now, the industries that are unstoppable right now are the virtual reality industry. Everybody that's pivoting to something digital right now is winning because everybody's throwing money at that. But to flip a G right now, if I had $1,000 and I was somebody that doesn't have my own business or don't have anything that I call my own, I would invest it in learning about something that I'm passionate about. Because what I'm telling you right now, that is the thing that helped me in the cannabis space, was my discipline in learning about the industry. The first thing that I did was, and still do to this day, is read the news. Look at companies, what problems they're having. Let me give you one exercise that I do every morning is when I see a company, an article about a company that's struggling, I start thinking myself, I force myself to think how to solve that problem. Because guess what? If these motherfuckers tap on me like, hey, can you help us with this? I'll be ready. And when preparation meets opportunity.
What news channels do you, websites?
I get, you know, Medium. I'm signed up for them. So they send a lot of, like, really smart information about business, about self-development. But all of the ones related to cannabis, I get I'm signed up. Just to get the biased and the unbiased information. And then with that, you can form your own opinion. Informed opinion, because, you know, that's really important in order to be able to, if somebody calls on you, like, can you solve this problem, for you to be ready, pretty much.
Right. But you already gave us a couple of stories about yourself, but just give us one more interesting story.
One more. In what context?
Whatever. Whatever you want to share.
Let's see. I can't think of anything right now. Help me out. In the Navy? I got capped in the Navy.
You a captain?
I got capped, which means that advancement program where the CO just advances you on the spot. Did you guys have that?
Yeah.
So I that happened to me, and the story actually behind that, I was not expecting it at all. So they had us all information, you know, in order to hear the CO talk, but I had no idea what the hell it was about. So I zoned out. Like, I'm there standing at attention or whatever the case may be, and zone out. And all of a sudden, I just hear Balbuena. So my full name is Balbuena Mendez. My last name is too, Balbuena Mendez. So I keep hearing kind of like in the background, Balbuena Mendez, front and center. But it sounds like far because I'm not paying attention. And then the CO comes up to me and he's like right in my face right here, Balbuena Mendez. And I kind of like woke up and he's like front and center. So I'm thinking I'm going to get in trouble at this point. And so I get front and center, and then he calls like two other people, and I'm just like, what is happening right now? And then he's like, announces that I've been promoted. So along with those other two people that were there. But yeah, that's my little story. I don't know why that came even to mind, but.
All right. Well, I want to say thanks for coming through politicking with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was super fun, and I would love to stay in touch. So
I'm about to get a job. Shit, we about to. I got writers, everything.
Let's get it.
Funny, I'm in San Diego
for
too.
Real. Yeah, absolutely.
You want to give them, what's your social media?
Yeah, so follow at cannabis.synergy and also at boycott shitty weed. Boycott Shitty Weed is my creative lifestyle brand. That's where I have the blog with Wake, They Create, Repeat. And then we also have apparel and just accessories for the cannabis space.
So what is Shitty Weed to you?
Shitty Weed is low quality weed, dirt weed. But there, I'm glad you asked, by the way, because what I mean with boycott shitty weed is that what I said earlier, you got to place emphasis on the quality so you can use it with intention, you know, to get the results that you want from the plant. So the message is use the plant, don't let it use you, kind of thing. So you don't abuse it. And then use it. Then the fact that weed is not, it's kind of like the derogatory name for cannabis. You know what I'm saying? So at the same time, I'm saying boycott weed and start using cannabis because that's the name that doesn't have stigma. So like if you say, oh, I'm going to consume cannabis or I'm going to smoke some cannabis, somebody would probably be like, oh, okay. So if you say, let me go smoke some weed, they'd be like, oh, look at this pothead type shit.
Like, you know, start saying cannabis.
You don't have to. I mean, nobody gets offended. It's just, you know, educating people.
I'm about to partake in my cannabis consumption.
Exactly. Yeah. When you smoke cannabis, then you're a connoisseur.
All right.
So it's just, you know, it's just to have fun. But I love weed. I love cannabis. Whatever. It doesn't matter. As long as it's high quality. The shady one, we boycott that one.
Thanks for listening to Pole Politicking. Like I said, this is Self-Help Meets Hip-Hop. Try to interview the artists or whoever I'm interviewing. Just try to get a little bit more than just the music or just entertainment. Try to get some stuff that you can use in your life that they're saying. And this is, like they say, I got it out the mud. So 2008, we started it and been doing it this whole time. So I appreciate all the listeners we have.
all my loyal listeners that stay down and listen to every episode. And so if you want to be a guest, make sure you got some Fox. I want some heat. But you can contact me at polepoliticin@gmail.com. Yeah, if you want to be a guest, hit me up. And also make sure you check out the store. We sell merch, rappert-shirts.com. Rappert-shirts.com. So I got the Polepolitikin merch on there. Got rapper t-shirts, got men's fashion, women's fashion, got cool stuff on there. Anybody, you know, you want to make donations, you just like what you hear, you're like, it's cool, I want to support this, keep going, because, you know, it takes money to build this and keep growing it. It's Cash App, $POPOLITICKIN, that's POPOLITICKIN. I appreciate that, or PayPal, Venmo, it's always POPOLITICKIN. And we're also looking for sponsors. So if you have a book, you have an album you're about to come out with, your record label, your magazine, anybody that has something they're trying to promote, let me know. You can email me at polepoliticin@gmail. And we can work something out, work out a deal. But yeah, I'm looking for sponsors. So hit me up. And I appreciate all the support. And I'll see you next episode. I holla.
Polepoliticin.com.